Hello, I'm Elizabeth Sladen, and in Doctor Who, I played the intrepid Time Lord's companion, Sarah Jane Smith. I'm here to invite you on a journey by way of the time-travelling powers of the BBC Radio Archive. A lot safer and more comfortable than by TARDIS, believe me. We'll be rediscovering a wealth of broadcasting gems long forgotten since their original transmission, some of which will come as a surprise to even the most avid fan. To begin our journey, another very good friend of the Doctor's presents a history of the television series we have all come to know and adore in 30 years. First broadcast on BBC Radio 2 on the 20th of November, 1993.
News has just come in that President Kennedy has been shot. There's no news yet of his condition.
The world was shocked to hear of the assassination of President Kennedy. Most people can remember where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news. Perhaps they were watching the television and hearing this for the very first time. The theme tune that has for the last three decades introduced the weekly adventures of a most remarkable time traveller, Doctor Who. Well, hello. I'm Nicholas Courtney. If you're a Doctor Who fan, you'll probably remember me as one of the Doctor's closest allies, Brigadier Alastair Gordon Lethbridge-Stewart. Having had the privilege to work with the Doctor on numerous occasions, I hope that I'm the best qualified to give you the complete story behind the world's longest-running science fiction television series and the reasons why it's lasted so long. Now, 30 years is a lot of time to cover in just 60 minutes, so let's journey back to a fog-shrouded London. To be precise, Saturday, November 23rd, 1963. Inside a small scrap merchant in Totters Lane, two young schoolteachers, Ian Chesterton and Barbara Wright, are anxiously searching for one of their pupils, Susan Foreman, little realising that they're about to embark on a journey into the unknown.
It's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Well, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. Feel it, you feel it?
It's a faint vibration.
It's alive.
When a white-haired, elderly gentleman in Edwardian clothes arrives on the scene, Ian and Barbara force their way into the police box and make a startling discovery.
You don't deserve any explanations. You pushed your way in here, uninvited and unwelcome.
I think we ought to leave.
It's an illusion. It must be.
Illusions, indeed. You say you can't fit an enormous building into one of your smaller sitting rooms.
No.
But you've discovered television, haven't you?
Yes.
Then by showing an enormous building on your television screen, you can do what seemed impossible, couldn't you?
At the end of the first episode, the Doctor sets the controls and the school teachers find themselves unwilling passengers on a voyage through time and space. But how did this all begin? Well, as a matter of fact, in a small BBC office. A number of studio executives were trying to decide on a new children's programme to fill the Saturday evening tea time slot between Grandstand and the pop music quiz Jukebox Jury. A number of ideas were considered and then rejected, when the BBC's then head of drama, Sidney Newman, suggested a science fiction series. Having previously produced an adventure serial for ABC television called Pathfinders in Space, Newman was no stranger to the subject. Through Donald Wilson, the head of the BBC's script department, he gave writers Anthony Coburn and David Whittaker the outline for a story about an elderly time traveller. Shortly afterwards, Newman appointed Verity Lambert, his former assistant at ABC, as producer.
So I went from being a production assistant, really, to being a producer on this new show, which was supposed to break new ground and use all the latest techniques, but we were put in the older studio that the BBC had, Studio D in Lime Grove, which I have a great affection for, because we did the first year almost of Doctor Who there. And it was strange in a lot of ways because it was a children's show but was not being produced by the children's department, which caused a certain amount of aggravation within the BBC. It was wonderful to work on because although there was a format, within that format you could do almost anything you wanted. So any sort of imaginative idea that came in from a writer which appealed to David Whittaker, who was my story editor, and me, we would just commission.
Verity Lambert's associate producer, Mervyn Pinfield, suggested a number of actors to play the time traveller referred to in the script as simply...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?